evidence-based nutrition information focusing on addressing the root cause for imbalance. Food has the power to help you achieve lifelong optimal health without the side effects of prescription medication. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. I am Stacy Seslowski, functional nutrition registered dietitian.
And I am Leah Grace Barrick, functional nutritionist.
Hello, welcome everyone to the Power of Food podcast. I am thrilled to introduce to you an incredible guest today. Dr. David Minkoff is a leading physician, best-selling author, and a superstar athlete. Dr. Minkoff founded LifeWorks Wellness Center in 1997, now one of the largest alternative medical clinics in the United States. And Body Health in 2000, which is a nutrition company offering a unique range of dietary supplements for the public and practitioners. Dr. Minkoff has a diverse background as a board-certified pediatrician, a fellow in infectious diseases, an ER physician, and as the co-director of a neonatal intensive care unit. He recently wrote the best-selling book, The Search for the Perfect Protein, and is currently writing his second book and writes two online newsletters each week, The Optimum Health Report and the Body Health Fitness Newsletter. Welcome to the Power of Food podcast, Dr. Minkoff.
Thank you, Stacy.
It is great to have you. I have so many questions for you. Let's just get started by saying, you know, you have an extensive background in conventional medicine. And I was wondering if you can talk through a bit about how you transitioned or why you transitioned from the more conventional medicine strategies to a more alternative medicine world of care.
Part of it was my wife. She's a nurse and she had some health challenges and she got interested and started going to seminars to learn about this new science in 1995 of functional medicine. And she got very excited about it. She thought I would like it. She dragged me to Orlando to see Jeffrey Bland for a weekend, like a two-day seminar. I don't know if Jeffrey was active when you were getting your training, but he impressed me as maybe the smartest guy I ever met and the most literate in the field of nutritional biochemistry and human performance. And I was just starstruck at that seminar. It was so good. And he got me really fired up to like explore this area. Now, I had more of a personal interest at the time, or two personal interests. One was to help her feel better. She was mercury toxic, had the fillings from her teeth drilled out by a dentist who didn't know what he was doing, and then developed a bunch of autoimmune symptoms. But I was also interested in, I was an Ironman triathlete, and I wanted to be my best performance. And my goal every year was to be able to qualify for the international world championship. And so I was trying to always up my game. And I felt that if I could learn which supplements and what to eat and all this stuff, that I could do that. So those were the two sort of things that got me going. What happened is that I, next to her office, it's a home healthcare business. So they would go to people's homes and help them with dressing changes and feeding and baths and that sort of stuff. And next to the office where hers was, a dentist moved in. He had been living in West Palm Beach. He moved up to Clearwater. He opened his practice. And one day when I was there, when I went to go pick her up after work, I saw that the sign on his office said natural dentistry, which I didn't know what that was. And one of the days I was going by there, I saw him leave the office and he was walking out toward his car. And I was sitting in my car waiting for my wife. And I got out of the car and I went and just introduced myself. And my first question to him was, what is natural dentistry? Never heard that term before. And he said, well, unlike your average dentist, we believe that the mouth is actually part of the body, not sort of an external unit that you can do things to that don't have an effect on the body. So I said, well, put that in practical terms. So he said, well, mercury is among the most toxic chemicals or minerals known. He said, if you took one filling, extracted it, it's about 500 milligrams. It's a mixture of liquid mercury. So mercury is liquid at room temperature. We all as kids, I don't know if you did, but we played with mercury. And they put in filings from zinc, copper, tin, silver. And that makes the amalgam. And they drill out the tooth. They put this stuff in there. It's very durable. They can last a lifetime. Unfortunately, mercury at room temperature is a liquid, but mercury boils at 110. Now, a hot cup of tea or coffee or soup is probably 150, 160.
Yeah.
So mercury boils in these amalgams. The mercury will boil out of the amalgam and it will go into your palate. It will go into your throat. You can swallow it. It'll go into your body and it can make you sick. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you want to get sort of a feel for how toxic this stuff is, he said, if you put that one filling, ground it up real fine, put it in a 10-acre lake that had fish, and waited a couple of weeks so that the mercury dispersed, the fish ate either the vegetation or they were bathing in the water where this mercury was. He said if the EPA would come and test the fish for mercury levels, they would put a fish advisory on there because they would be. Now that's a filling, one filling in a 10-acre lake. My wife had 14 in her mouth, okay, for many years. She was probably in her late 40s, and she had them put in when she was in childhood. Okay. So I said, wow, that's crazy, isn't it? And then the other point he made is that there isn't any other area of medicine where a doctor would leave in a dead organ or a dead infected organ. Mm-hmm. So if you're a diabetic and you have gangrene of a toe, that's a dead organ. The blood supply no longer supplies those tissues,
right?
Those cells, and it gets infected. And the only thing you could do is cut off the toe. There's no way to restore it. If a surgeon would, someone has a bad bellyache and they have to go in and do an exploratory surgery, and they find that there's a portion of bowel that's dead, either it twisted or the blood supply got blocked, the only choice for the surgeon is to cut out that section of dead bowel, because if that bowel ruptures and the bacteria get all over, you'll die. So he said, people don't think about this, but a root canal procedure takes an infected tooth. The procedure kills the blood supply and the nerve. So the patient feels good. The pain's gone. There's no blood supply. The infection persists. And the infection products and bacteria can enter the body and poison the body.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, this is what natural dentistry doesn't do. We try to use materials that are compatible. They're biological. And we don't leave in dead infected organs. And we try to do things thinking like, if this was an arm, what would you do? Would you ever put mercury in a wound in an arm? We used to, when I was growing up, use mercuricone. Mercury.
Yeah. Okay?
But it's poisonous. I remember growing up with contact lenses. They used to have thimerosal in the contact lens solution. It was used there as an antibacterial and a preservative. And then they realized, oh my God, you're putting this toxic stuff in someone's eyes. And you're bathing your contact lenses in this stuff. And you can absorb the mercury and you can get sick or you can poison your system. So virtually none of traditional dentistry today has much to say about either one of these things. There is somewhat of a movement on pregnant women, you know, don't eat mercury or don't eat fish because there's mercury, blah, blah, blah. but it's not like it should be, which is no, never. And root canals, no, never, because they're all toxic.
Right.
We find in our practice, so we have a, our practice is mainly people with serious chronic illness. And we see a lot of cancer. And we find that over 80% of women with breast cancer have root canals on the teeth that align with the breast. You know, in acupuncture, there's this meridian system.
Yes.
And the breast is on the stomach meridian. And these are the molar teeth on the top and the premolar teeth on the bottom. Over 80% of the patients that we see who come in with diagnosed breast cancer, they have a root canal on that tooth meridian. It's not an accident. It's bad dentistry causing pathology in the body. Now, I'm not saying that everyone causes it in everyone. It's not true. But smoking doesn't cause lung cancer in everyone.
Right.
But it's clear enough that, boy, you shouldn't use cigarettes for pleasure because your chances of dying of lung cancer go way up. So none of these associations are perfect. But when you get these strong associations, you better think twice about it. So anyway, so after he told me all this stuff, I said, well, you know, my wife has got, she had these fillings out and she was fine before the fillings were taken out. Mm-hmm. And now she's got these symptoms. And he said, she's mercury toxic.
Wow.
And he said, there's no one in this town that's going to help you. And if you want to help her, because we'd already been through an endocrinologist and a neurologist and a liver specialist, and they were clueless about what was going on. But she is also a triathlete. She's a podium triathlete, like it's really good. And she's still racing at 74, and she almost always either wins or comes in second in her age group and anything that she goes to. So, but you know, 25 years ago, 27 years ago, she was not in good shape. So he said, you better go to Seattle. There's a doctor there. He trains other physicians in how to diagnose and detoxify heavy metal poisoning. And so I went out there. I learned from him. I came back. I applied what I learned to her. And lo and behold, 5-6 months later, her symptoms went away and she was better.
Wow.
And our friends were sort of watching this. And they started to call me. Like, I've got migraine headaches. Can you help me? I've got ulcerative colitis. Can you help me? I've got rheumatoid arthritis. Can you help me? And I was working full-time emergency room at the time. So an emergency room was shift work. So it's, you know, it was 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. or 7 p.m, 7 a.m. And so I would do, you know, you do 3 shifts of the day, 3 shifts in the middle, 3 shifts at night. And then you'd, you know, tap a few days off and you do it again. But I had some time off and she had an extra room in her nursing office. And I said, why don't you just meet me there on Tuesday afternoon and we can just play. You know, it's, I don't really feel like I know what I'm doing. I've got one patient that got better, but I don't know if I can help you. And I started to play and it became very interesting. And at this same time we were both very interested in this. And one weekend a month, we were flying somewhere to learn from somebody, all these various aspects of functional integrative medicine, homeopathy, neural therapy, you know, I've studied like 25 of these things. And so I started to do this on people and people started to get better. And it was really fun. And at that point, the emergency room was becoming kind of a, you know, it was psych screenings for people who were trying to kill themselves, poor things, or little children coming in handcuffed because they'd acted out in school and they were, you know, why to do the physical exam? So they would be Baker acted and stuck in the psych unit. And it just got to be like no fun. I like critical care. I ran an intensive care unit. I like real emergency medicine, car accidents, gunshots, you know, heart attacks. I like that.
Yeah.
But the emergency room was changing to something else. And then this other thing started to grow and it just mushroomed. And we went from one room to 3,000 square feet. And then a year later, we went to 9,000 square feet. And now we have about 25,000 square feet. And it just has become, we have one of the largest practices like this in the United States. And so And along the way, I have kept, I am a lifelong learner. I love study. I love learning. And I really love solving problems. And so the people that come to us, the average person has seen 13 doctors with no solution to their illness. And about 85% of those people, we figure them out and we get them better. Mm. And that is loads of fun because they get better and they're happy and they're grateful. And then they tell their friends and family and they, you know, they come in. So now we have three MDs and four nurse practitioners and two more nurse practitioners in training. So we, you know, 75 staff. So it's a big clinic and it's, well, I love what I do. I'm, you know, 60 hours a week I'm in there and I do it. I should be retired, but it's too much fun.
Yeah.
And it's so, so that's kind of the long answer, I guess.
Yeah, right. Thank you. No, that's amazing. It's an amazing story. I always love to listen to the way people like transition into functional medicine because there is always this personal piece to it. It's always either myself or my husband or my wife or, you know, someone in my family that just went from doctor to doctor, couldn't figure out their symptoms. And then so we decided to just study it ourselves. You know, like that's kind of like always the story. And what I, and the other thing that I love about functional medicine is that we can restore hope in people who are, who have lost hope because they've gone to so many doctors and the doctors are not helping them. They're just putting them on one pill or another and it's not making their symptoms, you know, go away. Maybe it makes things better for a short term, but it certainly doesn't cure or restore good health. And so it, I really do feel like you do, like this is fun. It's uncovering this puzzle and then making people really restore better health. So congratulations to you too, because you did it at a time where, I mean, I think we're lucky now. I think it's really blossoming. And I think the career, is, you know, the field is growing. But at the time you did it, you know, you were just sort of one of the brand new people. So in, even that that dentist that you mentioned, I mean, he's still one of a kind. I might have to ask you for his name because, you know, you're right. Like people are still getting root canals routinely, you know, still
25 million a year in the United States. It's a huge industry. It's a huge industry. You know, a root canal costs between $2,000 and $4,000. Multiply it by 25 million, then multiply it by all the tools and the stuff that they use. It's a huge industry, and it's very protected. I don't know if you or your audience have seen this film called RootCauseMovie.com.
RootCauseMovie.com.
It's a it's a highly recommended. It's a documentary on root canal. And it will, you know, it was so inflammatory to the American Dental Association that they threatened Netflix. It went viral on Netflix after the movie was produced. It went viral on Netflix. And the Dental Association's lawyers threatened Netflix that they were going to sue them if they even showed it.
Wow.
So, so you have to go to this link and it's an hour and 15 minutes. They charge you $5 or $6 to watch it. It's excellent. And if I would just say this to anyone. If you have a chronic illness that you aren't being solved, whether it's Lyme disease or multiple sclerosis or Parkinson's or chronic fatigue, and you have a root canal, you will virtually never get better, no matter what anyone does, until your dental health is actually restored to normal. And you should watch this film like 3-4 times, really understand it. And then what you have to do is find a dentist who understands this and can do it in all of Tampa Bay. So there's 3 million people in Tampa Bay. There's only 3 guys I trust to do this work. And they're as renegade as we are.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, they're, you know, the dental board is very unforgiving about this kind of stuff. But they really, I could not do this work without exceptional dentistry being done along with it, because a lot of times that is at the bottom of the whole problem.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah, the oral microbiome, that's what, you know, the gut gets so much attention. But if you think about it, it's attached. I mean, it's all attached. There is a microbiome in your mouth. And we're learning now that it is connected to Alzheimer's disease. When you have dysbiosis in your oral microbiome, or like you're saying, when you're exposed to toxins, and nowadays we are exposed to just, I mean, incredible amounts of environmental toxins. Right. And so how we can address these things, and it sounds like in your practice, you're doing some really incredible up-to-date sort of technologies to clear out some environmental toxins. Can you share a little bit about how your process with that?
Yeah. I mean, the environment, like you said, is full of, I don't know, 80 to 100,000 foreign chemicals that weren't in the environment 100 years ago. An average person has an exposure of about 3,000 of these a day. So it's whatever medications they're taking. It's whatever plastics they encounter. It's fumes. It's, you know, it's insecticides and pesticides and herbicides and flame retardants. And these things are put in routinely in clothes, in mattresses, in blankets, in sheets. Your lawn guy is spraying it on your lawn and you walk out there in sandals or barefoot, or your dog walks out there or your cat, and then they come in the house and they track it in. And then to find clean food these days is very difficult because the amount of chemicals that are used in food are just ubiquitous. And so we're exposed, and I want people to eat as organic as they can. I want them to be careful about how they surround their environment. The other thing in the environment now is there's electronics everywhere. You know, there is Wi-Fi and electronics everywhere, and magnetic fields. And I just had an interesting experiment where I had a guy come out to my house and test me laying on my bed, holding an electrode that was measuring the voltage in my body from electrical fields that were just in the house. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Normal is 0.01. I was 1.4.
Wow.
Okay. That's 1,000 times too high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our room, in our master bedroom, we installed a switch so that when you click it, all of the electronics in the master bedroom and master bath turn off.
Wow.
So that I'm plugged into the electrode, and we turn this thing off before we go to sleep.
Mm.
And you can feel it. You can feel the room just go, oh.
Yeah.
So I clicked the switch. This is the first time I was able to see it actually measured in us, in our house. And I clicked the switch, and it goes down to 0.03. Mm. It's like in the range of where you'd be if you didn't have a lot of electronic interference. Now, that is a huge thing. When you're sleeping, you're supposed to be in a parasympathetic state. You know, you're supposed to be in a rest, digest. Your system is supposed to be able to shut down so you can recuperate. Now, if you have electrical frequencies at 60 or 60 cycles per second, which is on, off, on, off, on, off.
Right.
And all of the little flows in our body, you know, like the electrical flows in our body are sodium's going one way and potassium's going the other way. These little teeny microcurrents, you know, like millivolt currents. And you're in an environment where you have 1,000 times those currents. Your body's under heavy stress all the time to just try to hold everything together. And when you sleep, you want all that stuff gone. And if you do these sort of simple things, is like go to your circuit breaker. We had somebody come in the house, and so we could push a button and that portion of the house would turn off. But you could go to the circuit breaker in your house and you just go flip, flip, flip before you go to bed, and it turns everything off.
Right.
And then there is no electronic frequencies in the bedroom. And then you are way, way more protected. And so little stuff like this. So this is part of the environmental threat that we're all living under, and why we have such an epidemic now of chronic illness. This is why. It's the food. It's the toxic chemicals. It's the electronic environment. And then it's all the insanity that's going on with, I hate you and you hate me. And you're terrible because you believe this. And I'm terrible because I believe this. And all that craziness, which is just like, you know, if you want to function in a healthy way, you ought to respect, or you got to respect other people and their beliefs, and they got to respect you.
Yes.
And you're a this, and I say, have at it, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you're not trying to make me that way, you can be that way.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And we have enough in common with problems of like handling the environment and handling, you know, where are we going to get our electricity from? And I mean, there's a, you know, and these insane people that want to make war everywhere or want to, you know, like if we could put our attention on those kind of problems, and if it was in a spirit of we are one, like this planet is very fragile. And some people feel like in 3-4 generations, half the males now are incontinent and not incontinent, but they don't make enough sperm at work.
Right. Low in testosterone, and higher in estrogen.
They're low in sperm. Their sperm don't swim. And it's all toxicity. And there's a whole now specialty in medicine, fertility medicine. 50 years ago, there was no fertility medicine.
Right.
So, it's because people are toxic. And that's the real problem.
Yeah.
That if we could sort of align on that, that we could all be better and we won't extinct ourselves. You know, the dinosaurs extincted themselves. We're headed that way if we don't kind of wake up.
Yeah. You know, it's connected to like the way that people address each other and the way that they are willing to just sort of attack each other for their opinions. It is connected to the amount of electromagnetic radiation that we have going on, you know, and the amount of social media, because we're not actually speaking to each other face to face. We are willing to just type the most horrible things to each other because it isn't the same as saying something to somebody's face.
Yep.
And also being in that constant state of fight or flight, because like you were saying, we have this constant stimulation that is keeping us awake at night, that is not allowing us to get into the parasympathetic process in our body, that all these things are connected, you know?
Yep.
It's like, so you're right. We have to sort of like peel this onion apart and get to the root the same way that we do as practitioners, to get to the root of these issues. And I mean, just being able to work together to reduce environmental toxins, or even educate ourselves on how to build our own immune system so that when we're exposed to environmental toxins, we are a little bit more capable. But like our diet, for example, is not allowing us to do that. You know, we're eating sort of a high sugar, processed food, standard American diet that is certainly not promoting our immune abilities, our detoxification pathways. So can you talk about, do you give nutrition advice to your patients when you have a patient that's been coming to you or going to one doctor after another and just constantly getting frustrated because they can't get to the root of their issue? What sort of process do you take to analyze their nutrition and their diet?
Well, because we're in a doctor's office, so we measure, you know, we measure micronutrient levels. So amino acids, essential fats, vitamins, minerals, organic acids. We check all this stuff. We measure levels of environmental toxins. And we, you know, we do stool tests to find out what's the bacterial profile. Do they have yeast, parasites, all this other stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Nutrition is very important. What we found as a sort of a starting point for most people is if they do an organic paleo diet, and for us, a paleo diet is meat, fish, eggs, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. No grains, no legumes, no dairy products. That's our sort of starting point. And for most people, their gut will calm down if we ensure they have enough digestive enzymes and they have proper bacteria, and we have things that can calm down the inflammation. That in most people in 6 weeks, their constipation goes away, their GERD and their bloating and their you know, their stool gets normal and their bellies flatten out. And 100% of people that we see have gut stuff going on, whether they realize it or not. Way too many people are using medication to calm down their gut. So there's a $5 billion industry with Pepcid and Nexium and Tagamet and all these, you know, Propulsid, all these drugs. And, you know, gastroenterologists and family doctors pass them out like candy. They're now available over the counter. Mm-hmm. And they are horrendous. They block stomach acid. They make you sick. Yeah. None of them are supposed to be used for more than 2 weeks. So if I had someone with a bleeding ulcer, I would put them on it for a couple of weeks till their ulcer healed. But longer than that, they're dangerous. And people are on them for years. And it just messes up their gut and increases their incidence of gastric cancer. I mean, they're just horrendous. So part of it is just getting their thinking over from push-button pharmaceutical medicine to like, every one of these drugs is toxic. Not one of them gives you nutrition or energy. And that's what food is for. Mm-hmm. And we have to get you off that stuff. Now, if someone's been on a drug for 5 years, I can't just tell them to stop. But if we start sort of building underneath their healthy gut and good amounts of enzymes and the rest of the stuff that's needed, they can then start to wean off and clear themselves from their medications. When I was in the emergency room, we had a fairly big nursing home population. And what would happen is an ambulance would bring an 80-year-old in who was semi-conscious with a swollen belly, who was kind of moaning and doesn't really know what was going on. And the ambulance drivers couldn't really give you much history, except they were doing better a few days ago, and then they weren't doing so well. And they hadn't had a bowel movement in 5 days, and their belly was blown up. And we would get the med list of what these people were on. And the average patient was on 12 prescription medicines. Okay. Now, we had a computer in the emergency room. So when you plugged in the medicines, the computer was supposed to give you what interactions there would be with the various drugs. But the computer could only tolerate 3 drugs. If you put in 4 drugs, the computer would go tilt. Because if you look at the physician's desk reference, or if you look at the insert, the number of side effects for virtually everything is columns and columns and columns. And there's no way a computer or a doctor could know. But, you know, they're on 2 blood pressure medicines and 1 for their heart rhythm and something for diabetes or 2 and something for their arthritis and something for their pain and something for their stomach acid and something for their cholesterol. And, you know, one of the successful actions that I would do, I didn't even know this as a doctor, but the thing was, okay, we're going to give this patient a bunch of enemas and we're going to stop all of their medicines and we're going to admit him to the hospital where they can be observed. And usually within about 24 hours, they would wake up, you clean out their colon and they would start to feel better. And then by the time they were ready to go home, usually they were re-prescribed all the stuff that they were taken off, which actually got them better. And then they would recycle. These people recycle every 3-4 weeks.
Yeah. It is. It's ludicrous. I mean, you know, you watch the commercials that read you these side effects. And yet when doctors give the patients these medicines, the patient doesn't question, just takes it, you know? And then,
last year, you know, so every year, the poison control centers around the United States do an annual report. And what they report is deaths from various pharmaceuticals and supplements. Okay. Now, somewhere in the neighborhood of at least, it's probably way higher, somewhere in the neighborhood of 200,000 people a year die from drug-related reactions.
Wow.
That's a lot of people.
Yes, that is.
And with fentanyl, it's even worse. Ugh. Okay. Fentanyl epidemic, close to 100,000 people have died of fentanyl. Yeah. But anyway, whatever it is, it's really high. So I just saw the poison controls thing runs about 2 years behind. So I think for 2020, they just came out with their annual report. And so they listed deaths from mineral supplements, vitamin supplements, homeopathics, protein powders. What are the categories? The main categories. How many do you think people died?
I mean, to me, it'd be like none. Like, those are all so safe.
None.
Really? Oh my God. I was afraid to say that, but
it's none. Yeah. And it's virtually always been none.
Yeah.
Okay. Versus a couple hundred thousand. So we have this agency, which is entitled by the people and by the government to patrol and watch things to protect people from bad things. Now, right now, I am in this industry because we have a company that produces vitamin products, and the amount of scrutiny and the amount of pressure and the amount of like detailed, you can't say this and you can't say that, and that word implies that this, and like we have lawyers that just comb this stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody's died in years and years and years.
Yeah.
Where should the attention be? Well, the attention should be on, you know.
Absolutely, on the medications. And when our supplement bottles read on the label, it says not FDA approved. That seems to be more scary to people than all the side effects that are listed on pharmaceutical medications that say you might have suicidal ideation and you might get cancer and all these things. But just the words not FDA approved, that's the thing that puts people over the edge.
Right. And what it really is this is a chance of helping you and being safer than the ones that have the label on it.
Yeah.
Because thousands of people
have been FDA approved, right?
I have an FDA approved. Tylenol, renal failure from too much Advil. And, my mother died from taking Celebrex. Celebrex is a pharmaceutical. It's an anti-inflammatory. It's in the same category as Advil. Mm-hmm. Well, she had chronic back pain, and she was given Celebrex for her chronic back pain. And it gave her a heart attack. Wow. And it was a common side effect. And it was only after a year, they knew in the trials that it was dangerous. Mm. But nobody called them on it. And finally, when enough people died, they pulled it off the market.
Mm. So, wow.
You know, the most sued company, the most criminal company in the world, in the pharmaceuticals, is, you know who it is?
No.
Begins with a PF.
Oh my gosh, really, Pfizer?
Yeah. They build into their budget legal expenses because they know people are going to die and they know they're going to have to defend it and they're going to know they're going to have to make payouts.
Right.
So when you start trusting that stuff, and I'm not anti-drug.
Yeah, okay? I understand.
If someone's got very high blood pressure, I will give them a drug until I figure out what's wrong with them. We have a person that I saw today, and she has poured in, and she had a fever of 102, and she got some IV antibiotics. You know, like, these things are life-saving and they're helpful. So I am not anti-pharmaceutical. I'm not even anti-pharmaceutical company, except I think that we have agencies that are supposed to watch and keep ethical management of these things. And we don't have that. And that is a problem. And that's dangerous for people.
Yep.
So that's one of the things is, you know, if you want to be healthy and you want to live a long time, one of the most dangerous things that you could do is seek out attention for your problem. If it's not an acute, you know, you need stitches or you need a C-section or you're having a heart attack. It's for blood sugar management and blood pressure management and cholesterol management. You are walking into a danger zone if you go to a regular doctor.
Yeah.
What they're going to give you are things that are potentially toxic for you. And that what you should do is listen to podcasts like this, seek out people like you or me, where we can see 5 years before or 10 years before, that person didn't have that problem. This isn't genetic.
Right.
This is lifestyle. And you can undo it usually. with simple things. And maybe you're going to spend $300 a month on nutritional supplements, but the drugs are way more dangerous. And if you just cut your beer budget back and your Starbucks budget back, you'll have the money so that you can buy organic food and live well, because otherwise you are on this train and the train is going at 80 miles an hour and there's a wall up there. Yeah. And the more you get on, the longer you're on that train, the bigger risk you have. It's, you know, the mortality of people in the United States this year went down 2 years. The age, life age expectancy, I think it went from 79 to 77. And that life expectancy didn't change the first year of the COVID epidemic. It's what's happened since.
Right. The lifestyle changes that people made while they were kind
lifestyle, of stuck. Each person, people, when I was in med school, this, he was a yogi, but he was also a professor, I think, of psychology, and he was Indian, and he came to the class and he gave us a lecture. And he said, so this is 1969 or 1970. And he said, listen, and he was talking to us about lifestyle and right attitude and all this stuff that yogis talk about. And for, you know, every day he'd put us through all these postures and we were all sore, and it was interesting. And he could do some wild stuff, you know, like he sat in front of the lecture hall with a temperature probe on one hand and another temperature probe on the other hand. And we could see the temperature readings. And it was, 97 or whatever his skin temperature was. And then he said, watch this. And then on the right hand, the temperature went to 103. And the left hand, it went to like 94.
Oh, my gosh.
He switched them. And then he put a heart monitor on and he sat down and he sat quietly for a few minutes. And the heart rate monitor went to like 20, like heartbeat. And he was very comfortable. And he sat there long enough for us to see that that's what had happened. And then he woke up and he opened his eyes. So he had my attention.
Yeah.
So he told a story. And he said, the first 20 years of your life, you can do anything you want. You're young, you're vibrant. No big deal. You can do it. He said, the next 20 years of your life, you can live on kind of grace. You can coast.
Right.
And then he said, the next 20 years of your life, your body will take you to hell. Okay. Those were his words.
Yes. Now,
today, so this is 40 some years later. It isn't true. There's no 20 years of doing anything you want. There's no years of grace. We have an epidemic of child obesity, of autism, of childhood cancers, of hypertension. We see diseases, and I used to be a pediatrician. We see diseases in children that no one ever saw until people were in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. And they're now, they're all over the place in children, of food allergies and food sensitivities and asthma and autoimmune stuff. And it's lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's wrong food, toxic environment, medications, and it's these people. These people can't. The bodies can't take it.
Yeah.
And so people are going to try to live long and healthy and procreate, be able to have children. Everybody's got to clean up. It's like beyond a choice. Virtually everything else is suicide.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's okay with me if you want to kill yourself. But it's really not. But people have to kind of wake up.
Yeah.
Like, wake up.
I know.
Because it's actually that bad.
I know.
One of the things we measure in every person that we see is the amount of glyphosate, which is Roundup, in people's urine. So I have done thousands of tests of people's urine for glyphosate because we measure it on every patient that comes into our office. Guess how many people that we've tested glyphosate on have no glyphosate in their urine.
None. Every one of them has it, I bet.
Everyone has it.
Yeah.
Everyone has it. Even if they're eating organic and they're being careful, right. The water supply and the aquifer is polluted with glyphosate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's everywhere. It's a carcinogen. Mm-hmm. It causes leaky gut. It causes vitamin D to not perform. And so sunshine no longer causes, you can't get sunshine and raise your vitamin D level. I don't know how many you had, but very, very few people that we see. So I'm in Florida and we have 300 days of sunshine a year. Virtually nobody has a normal vitamin D level if they're not supplementing.
Right.
So and I'm one of them. And I'm a triathlete. So I'm riding my bike hours a week and outside. And I swim outside and I'm exposed. And my vitamin D non-supplemented is 34. And the lowest on LabCorp around here is 30, but an ideal level of vitamin D is between 70 and 90.
Right.
My body won't convert because I've got glyphosate in my urine too, and there's probably other things, but that's one of them that I know of. And so I have to take 12,500 units of vitamin D every day to keep my vitamin D level up. Now that's like, it's just a symptom of what is going on.
Yeah.
And so this is if people want to get better, they've got to hook up with people with know-how, because so much of the internet is confusing and so much of it is sort of a money-driven agenda. And I'm not against money and I'm not against good information, but I think if you need a coach, you need a coach to be able to say, look, we're going to assess you and here's where you are. And we have objective measurements and we're going to give you, these supplements, or we're going to do these tests. And then we're going to show, your weight's coming down, your body fat percentage is coming down, your visceral fat's coming down, your blood pressure's coming down, your sleep, we track sleep in everybody, your sleep, you're sleeping, you're getting more deep sleep, you're getting more REM sleep, your physiology is going back to what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And that is what health is.
Absolutely.
And that is doable for most people unless they're so far over the edge that, it's too late.
Right. That's why I wanted to share that there's so much we can do. It's, even if they don't find the perfect functional medicine doctor, there are so many things that are just common sense lifestyle changes that we can make, like getting better sleep, making sure we're moving throughout the day, trying to eat fruits and vegetables, adding, whole unprocessed foods to the diet. And this is not because we want people to be sort of torturing themselves. Like, we're not trying to ask people to live in this terribly, uncomfortable way. It's actually going to promote better quality of life. You're actually going to be able to think more clearly and feel better and not have stomach pains and go to the bathroom regularly. It's like, these are all things that are just going to help you. And they are sort of easy steps to take. Yeah. How would you recommend somebody find someone like you? I mean, there's so many doctors out there. It's so hard to decipher who has your best interest at heart and who will use, food and lifestyle and healthy supplements versus giving you sort of the pills and the medicines and all that. How do you advise people how to get the best care?
Well, I think I'd avoid regular medical doctors unless you have a serious medical problem, because there's very few medical doctors. There's a few of guys like me.
Yeah.
But not so many. There's tons of chiropractors that do nutrition. Yeah. Naturopaths that do nutrition. Registered dietitians that do nutrition and basic lifestyle, life coach type stuff.
Yeah.
And for many people, that is a very good option, because they're not going to give you something toxic, because they can't. Because all the toxic stuff you need a license for. And
exactly.
If you don't have the license, you're probably better off, but you can't hurt someone.
Right.
So I think for most people, and then it's to start, taking an interest, like the things you said, you have to sleep, you have to get some sunshine, you have to exercise, and you have to eat non-toxic food. It's like about that simple.
Right.
And the third thing is that you have to associate people who think that you're a pretty good guy and that you think they're pretty good guys,
yeah.
So that you can share your humanity with other people and enjoy other people. And, you know, if you live in a situation where everybody hates you and you hate everybody else, and that's not very nurturing for you when you want to get out of there.
Correct.
The other stuff is fixable. You know, it's fixable. And like I said, we just put people, we have a little booklet we give them, and here's a paleo diet, and there's a little exercise card. So you hate exercise, fine. You know, if there's anything where you move that you like, do you like to play tennis? Do you like to, I don't really consider golf moving.
Right.
Unless you're walking.
Pickleball is the new thing. Pickleball. Huh? Pickleball is like the new thing.
Yeah, pickleball. You know, anything where you're moving. We have a little thing where I can, if you give me 25 minutes a day, 6 days a week, you can get fit in 2 or 3 months, no matter where you start. You know, and it's super easy. It's 3 days of cardio. If you can walk, you walk, and you walk a minute a little bit harder than you're comfortable with. And then you walk another minute easy. And then you walk the next minute harder than you're a little bit comfortable. You get a little bit out of breath. You get a little bit of a sweat. Don't strain yourself. And then you walk a minute easy. And you do that back and forth 8 times. And then you go home and it's 20, 25 minutes. You did it. Okay. It could be swimming. It could be a stationary bike. It could be a bicycle, but where there's an interval of harder. And what you find is that within a couple of months, you are really pressing it. Like you're pressing it and you're really out of breath after that minute. Yeah. And then you recover a minute. And then you start to get the joy of, and the exhilaration that comes with the endorphins that come with, I worked this body and my body liked it. And then 3 days of things where you lift heavy things, you know, do as many push-ups as you can do from your knees if you're just starting, and from the side of a table as you can do in one bout. And so let's say you can do 3 times. Okay, that's all you can do that day. And then get on the floor. And how many sit-ups can you do? When you're tired, you stop. And how many squats can you do? If you can't do a full squat, do a little mini squat.
Yeah.
You know, and then get some stretch cords and just pull, you know, pull down something. And you do that. And then you do that every other day. And in a couple of months, you can actually get on the floor and you can do a couple of push-ups. And in another couple of months, you're doing 20 push-ups. The morale and the change of state of a person, even where they're starting, gets better. And that is fun. And that is health.
Yeah.
But if you don't do it, you'll never get there.
Yeah.
And then I think one of the biggest disasters is phone time and screen time. You know, like hour a day, that's it. No more.
Yep.
Okay. Because it causes people to lose IQ. Okay. It makes you stupid.
Yeah.
The other thing it does is it makes you like hyper sympathetic over things that you can't change. You know, show me one more argument or one more judicial hearing about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why don't you just shoot yourself? In a couple of minutes, you can read like, who do I agree with and who do I don't? But all the other baloney that goes on is just makes people stress out and makes them crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. We're addicted. It's like our brains are absolutely addicted to checking and the dopamine. We get a dopamine rush when we get like a little like or a little an email or a beep that makes a sound that makes sounds like somebody is trying to contact us. Like we get so needy of that dopamine rush that we are just now constantly needing it.
The biggest dopamine rush there is, that is the secret of the universe.
What?
It's do something nice for someone.
Yes.
You don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
My dopamine rushes are people saying, I feel really good and you helped me and thank you because I'm everywhere and nobody helped me. That is the ultimate dopamine rush.
I know.
And if you aren't spending some part of your day or your work or your week doing things, you know, that actually help someone else, even in a work situation, that is the ultimate dopamine rush. And drugs don't get you there because there's a low. And, you know, phone time doesn't get you there because it's totally artificial. It's yeah. made up. But yeah. some human being comes up to you and they hug you and say, wow, you really helped me. Or it's the, best, you know, it's the right thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's a million ways that people have opportunities to do it, you know, where they can see somebody needs something and say, hey, do you need help with this? Or are you lost? Or can I help you? Or, you know, that if people start looking in that direction for their own high, because that's what happens. That's what the dopamine yeah. is.
Yep.
You transform the whole world. Because you do something nice for someone, and they do something nice for someone, and they do something
right.
nice.
Right, pay it forward. Yep.
Okay. And yeah. that's the opposite of cutting someone off or giving someone the finger mm-hmm. or, you know,
attacking.
You like Trump and I hate you, or yeah, you like exactly. Biden and I hate you, or all this stuff. It's mm-hmm. just like it's suicide. It's spiritual suicide.
Yep. That is so true. That is such good advice. If people would just wake up every day and say, what one thing can I do good to it for another person? You know, just think of one thing, and it could be the tiniest thing, a compliment or just a big smile, or, you know, it doesn't always have to be something that takes so much effort. It's like these little things that we could do that could just make such a big difference. They really, and it comes back to you in a million times over, you know?
Yeah. yeah. I mean, yeah. people talk about gratitude journals, but I think senior to a gratitude journal is at the end of the day is, what did I do for someone else to help them?
Yes.
That is a more important statistic than the things that, you know, somebody was nice to me, or I'm grateful because I have a great family and all that right. stuff, which is all right. wonderful. But that isn't as good. See, it's coming to you. Okay.
Right. Right.
And the things that you put out are way more important than the things mm-hmm. that you get back. You
yeah.
know, it's better to give than receive, whatever, however that goes. It's yeah. true.
And it really is.
Yeah. So I that's love that. Yeah. Great.
Well, I think if everybody could just listen to this podcast and do all the things that we said,
we can save the world.
I seriously, it doesn't have to be so complicated.
Right.
Well, yeah. it was so, so nice to meet you. Do you have any last minute sort of takeaway? I mean, you can repeat all the 100 things that you mentioned that people should do, but I don't know, something really quick that somebody could wake up tomorrow that can really change their health and maybe the health of their loved ones, but last minute thing that you would say.
I think if there's sort of a, it sort of goes along with what we said, but the rule of a successful life is understanding, you know, that just, do I have another minute? Can I just do a little story?
Yeah, go for
so
it.
This,
yeah.
this rich king in an earlier time was plagued by this question of, what is the most important knowledge that someone should have in order to have a successful life? Like he said, I want it distilled down into, like, there's books and tomes of knowledge, and every culture has one. And, you know, he said, even like the Ten Commandments, it's too many things. Like, I want it distilled down into one yes. sentence.
Yeah.
And he said, for whoever can find that, said this to his whole population, and bring that back to me, I will give them more rewards than they could ever find.
Hmm. Okay.
But if you bring me back one that isn't very good, I'm going to chop off your head.
Okay.
So these guys all go out, and they all come back, and there was like 100 of the most important ones, and 99 of them have all gone out, and they've come back, and he's like, no, that's not it. That's not it.
Right.
So the one guy comes straggling in, and he's and all these other 99 guys, their heads are on pikes all over the place. And he said, sir, I think I've got the answer.
Okay.
And he said, well, what is it? And the line is, there's no such thing in life as a free lunch.
Mm.
You can't drink beer and smoke cigarettes and get health.
Right.
You can't do bad things to people and expect to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't cheat on your wife or husband and expect to have a reasonable relationship or even live with yourself at night. You right. can't. You're expecting a free lunch. There's no free lunch. It's played straight and it's a tit for tat at every level. And you wow. do good things and that's paying. That's paying for your lunch. Mm-hmm. And you do bad things. All of us have a moral code. We all know what's right and wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
And you live contrary to your moral code, you will be miserable. You will either get physical illness or you'll be depressed. And you'll look for drugs to try to make you unfeel what you already feel because you're expecting a free lunch. You've been taking free, what looks like free. Mm-hmm. And there isn't anything free.
Yeah.
And so if people think about that in regards to their health and their own well-being, where you pay as you go, and what the pay is the body is a biological organism. It has certain requirements.
Yeah. Okay?
And it's the simple things. It's food and good water and go to the bathroom every day and get some sunshine and get some exercise and get some good sleep and, you know, surround yourself with nurturing people and try to help them out and admire them as much as you can. And then they will all do that to you. And then we all go to heaven and we're all good.
Yes. Yes. That's an amazing, amazing life code to live by. And I hope that everybody takes even just a little piece of it. Because I think, like I said before, even little parts of it can make a huge difference. So thank you so much. That was amazing. I really enjoyed talking with you. And I feel like I could listen to you and talk to you for days. I'd love to hear you back again talking about your book and your triathlons and what you've learned, your life lessons that you've learned from those things. So I hope we get to have you back again another time.
Great. I would enjoy it.
Awesome. Would you like to tell people, I have a little, your name up there, but if you want to tell people sort of where they can find you and anything else you want to mention.
Yeah. So that website, lifeworkswellnesscenter.com is a website for our practice. And we have, so there's hundreds of videos on there. So you can watch the videos and learn all about our clinic and what we do. The other website that's not up here is bodyhealth.com, BODYHEALTH.com. Body Health is a nutrition company that I own, and we make nutritional products. And we can talk about those maybe next time. But also there's hundreds of videos on there and lots of information. And then I do the two newsletters. And if you go to either website, you can register for the newsletters. They're free. And they have to do with health and fitness and healthy lifestyle. And that's where you find me. And try it. I think most people like it. We have, you know, tens of thousands of people that subscribe and we get good feedback from it. And that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Are you doing telehealth as well? Can people see you even if they're from all over or mostly in Florida, in, you know, local?
We don't do any telehealth. One of the things that I think is really important about what we do is, you know, like I was learned as an old time doctor. I saw a patient today who had abdominal pain and swelling, and her GP didn't examine her. And the GP said, you probably got a hernia. And so she sent the person to a surgeon, and the surgeon didn't examine the patient and scheduled the patient for a hernia repair. And took the patient for a hernia repair. And when they got there, they found that the belly was pretty blown up. And so he started to do the surgery, and there was 5 liters of fluid in the belly. And there was ovarian cancer all over the place. Now, 2 different licensed medical doctors saw this patient and never put their hands on her and never examined her. Okay. Now that is really bad medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe in telehealth. I think you can't tell what's wrong with a patient without sitting down with them and talking to them. I mean, in medical, in nutritional stuff, you know, it's a different thing.
Different. Yeah.
You got to come and you're going to. And so I said to her, well, I'm not one of those doctors. And now you go around the table, because at every visit of every patient that I see, they get a physical exam. I look in their eyes and I look in their mouth and I listen to their carotids and I listen to their heart and I feel their belly and I move their joints around at every visit. Mm-hmm. Because you can't tell unless you, you know, can examine that patient.
Right.
It's not good medicine otherwise.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
That's really it. So anyway, we don't do any telehealth. You got to come to Clearwater and then we see you. And then, you know, sometimes we can do some things after that's done a bit remotely, but mostly it's we're hands-on.
Okay. Well, that's amazing. And Clearwater is a beautiful part of Florida. So welcome anyone.
The hurricane is supposed to hit here tomorrow. So
I know. Let's stay safe and dry. Well, thanks again, Dr. Minkoff. It was wonderful to have you, and I can't wait for the next time.
Great. Good night.
Thanks so much for listening. If you found this episode helpful, we'd love if you left a rating and review and shared it with someone else who would find it helpful. You can find more information about Leah at gracefunctionalnutrition.com and get in touch with her through email at leah@gracefunctionalnutrition.com or on Instagram at gracefunctionalnutrition. To find more information about Stacy, you can find her at healfromfood.com, email her at stacy@healfromfood, or on social media at healfromfood. See you next time.